Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I hope everyone is doing well and that you are all having a wonderful Ramadan. Inshallah, we will start with our word meanings first, with dua. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli rabbi zidna ilma allahumma faqihna fid din allahumma anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa 'allimna ma yanfa'una wa zidna ilma allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafi'an وأملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين إن شاء الله we will cover ayah 29 to 32 of سورة البقرة today. Let's look at the word for word meanings first. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم Huwa, he, alladhi, is the one who, khalaqa, he created, lakum, la, means for, kum, all of you, ma, whatever, fi, in, al-ardi, al means the, and ardi means earth, Jami'a, all together. Summa, then. Istawa, he rose over, or he turned to. Ila, to. So this word is followed by ila here. So it makes more sense to say he turned to or towards. As-sama'i, the sky. Fasawahunna, fa, means then. Sawa, he fashioned or smoothed, leveled. Hunna, them. Saba, seven. Samawat, skies or heavens. Wahuwa, wa, and. Huwa, he. Bi kulli, bi, with or of. Kulli, all. Shay'in, things. Alim, all knowing. Wa, and, is, when. Qala, said, Rabbuka, Rabbu, Rabb, or master, ka, yours. Lil malaikati, li, means for, or since we're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing somebody, so lil malaikata, the lil in the beginning can also mean to, malaika, angels. Inni, indeed, ya in the end here means I, ja'ilun, going to make or appoint, fi, in, al-ardi, the earth, khalifa, a vicegerent. Qalu, they said, ataj'alu, a is the prefix here, and this is used as questioning. Whenever there's a question being asked. So, a here means do. Teja'alu. Ta means you. Ja'ala, to make. So, teja'alu. Will you make or appoint? Fi, in, ha, it, man, who. Yufsidu. He spreads corruption or does mischief. You means he, third person in the beginning. And fasad is the root word here. Meaning mischief. Fiha, fi, in, ha, it, wa, and, yes, fiku. Ya means he again, and then sheds. So yes, fiku, he sheds or spills. Ad-dima'a, the blood. Wa, and, nahnu, we, nusabbihu. Nu is the prefix and it means we. And then Thus, bi is the root word here, which means to glorify. So, dunse bihu, we glorify, bihamdika, bi with hamdi, praises, ga, yours, wa, and nukaddisu, we sanctify, la, for ga, you. Qala, he said, inni, indeed I, a'lamu. The alif in the beginning makes it I, and ilm means knowledge. So, a'lamu, I know, ma, what, la, not, ta'alamun, you all know. Ta in the beginning and una ending makes it plural. Ta means you and una ending, so all of you. And then ilm is the root word here. So this word means you all know. Wa and allama, he taught. Now this comes from the root word ilm also. But because of the three fathas on it, the meaning changes a little bit, and the shadda. So it means he taught Adama, Adam alayhi salam, al-asma'a, al-the-asma'a, names, kullaha, kulla, all, ha, it, thumma, then, aradahum, arada, he presented, or displayed, hum, them, ala, to, or upon, al-mala'ikati, the angels, faqala, then he said, fa means then, qala, said, ambi'uni, naba'a, is the word here, which means news, or to inform. So, ambi'uni, inform me, be with asma'i, names, ha'ula'i, of these, in, if, kuntum, kun, were, tum, you, sadiqin, truthful. Ina ending at the end of this word makes it plural. So, sadiqin, those who are truthful. Qalu, they said, Subhanaka, Subhana, glory, ka, yours. So glory be to you. La, not. Ilma, any knowledge. Lana, la, for. Na, us. Illa, except. Ma, what? Allamtana, you taught us. So ilm again at the beginning, and ta means you. So allamta, you taught. Na is the pronoun at the end, meaning us. Innaka, inna, indeed, ka, you. Anta, only you. Al-alimu, the all-knower. Al-hakim, the all-wise. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we will start with the tafsir for ayah 29 to 32. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Let's review what we learned last time. One very important thing that we understood is that we are not to have haya or hesitate when we have to say what is haq, the truth. If there is something bad happening in front of us, we shouldn't think that we are too shy to say something and hesitate. We also learned that people can be led astray, even from the Quran. This is if they come to the Qur'an trying to find something in it to spread mischief among people. We already knew that the Qur'an is the book of guidance, that it brings people to guidance, but this was new to us, that people can actually go astray by it. Sometimes after reading the Quran, people become so arrogant that they don't want to hear anything. Instead of their hearts being softened after reading it, they become conceited and they go away. They go astray. Another essential point was maintaining the bonds of kinship, keeping family ties. Remember that this is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we must do this. Anyone who breaks ties of relations is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A point to note here is that sila rahmi, keeping family ties, doesn't mean that we have to visit each other every day or call each other every day. And if we don't speak for a few days, we get upset with each other. That is not sila rahmi. Sila rahmi, or keeping ties with relatives, means to not cut off from them, that we are there for them when they need us, in their hard times and in their good times. And we try to fulfill their needs when they need us for something. Keep in touch with them out of concern for them. Sometimes people mention a relative who is a widow, and when asked how she manages to provide for herself, they say that they don't even know. This means that they didn't care enough or stay in touch with her. Everyone has someone who is needy among their relatives or their extended families, but we must stay in touch with them so we know how to help them. Sometimes it's not even that people don't get along with each other, but they don't stay in touch because they just don't want to bother. For the ones who we need help from, we really put an effort to stay connected. And we even tolerate their mistreatment, but why not for all of them? It shouldn't be hard to do because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order. We should be aware of how our struggling relatives are managing and how they get by. Sometimes people cut off ties from their siblings when their kids get married. If one sibling's kid was to marry the other's son or daughter, and the marriage doesn't work out, the parents stop speaking to each other or seeing each other, even though the parents are siblings. The marriage was not destined to work out, but the parents are committing a big sin when they cut off from each other, or they tell others to cut off from that person also. This is not permissible. Sometimes even parents tell their children to cut off from certain relatives that they themselves don't get along with. At times, some mothers even poison their children's minds against their fathers, or fathers feed their children's minds against their moms to turn them against them. Keep in mind, if we don't get along with any relative, we cannot prevent our kids from seeing them. They are the children's blood relations, so they must stay connected to them. Take this order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seriously. Inshallah. Ayah 29. So, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُم مَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created for you whatever is on this earth. This is a continuation of the previous ayah by starting with كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ. He reminds us, how can we deny his existence? when He created us. Then He is the one who will give us death and life again, and will be returned only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only He is the one who made everything on the earth for you. This ayah could have started off without huwa. But huwa comes before alladhi, because it emphasizes that only He did it. He alone did this. So first, He created us. And then, He created everything for us. Imagine if someone brings very nice presents for you and tells you that they are all for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decorated this whole earth and the sky for you. And He said, this is all just for you. Even the stars in the sky are there for its adornment, to please us, to satisfy our aesthetic sense. Circle the word lakum, where it says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ. He is the one who created for you. It means that this is all for you. Even before humans were sent here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made everything for them. Not just to fulfill our basic needs, but to make life comfortable for us. Just think about the clothes we wear. We could have just been made to wear clothes. Sorry, we could have just been made to wear leaves, as our ustaza mentioned. But He gave us clothes in different colors, made of various materials. We talked about the food He gave us last time. He created such a variety for us, when we could have survived by eating just one thing. What does this tell us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us so much that it's a lot more than our basic needs. And this is all out of the love He has for us, for our comfort. Note how the word jami'a comes after the part that says He is the one who created what is in the earth for you. Jami'a means all of it, that it is all for you. The la in lakum means that it is for your use, that you have permission to use it. The second meaning of this la at the beginning of lakum is just for you. Like when we say to someone that I did this just for you, it shows them that we care. We care for them a lot, and that's when they appreciate our effort, because it's just for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He made everything on this earth just for us, for our use. If we wonder how all of it is for us when we only use a limited amount of things, just remember that our perception is very limited. Everything on earth is either directly or indirectly serving mankind. We only think of the things that we use or that we enjoy looking at when listing useful things. And anything that we don't like to see, we consider useless. For example, people say sometimes that snakes shouldn't even be here in dunya. They shouldn't exist in this world. If snakes had not been here, we could not have been able to imagine the snakes of Jahannam. Same goes for scorpions and the heat that we feel here. if we weren't aware of such things, we wouldn't understand the punishments of Jahannam. On the other hand, if there was no beauty here on earth, we would not be able to imagine the beauty of Jannah. Sometimes people complain that only beautiful things should have been here. But at times, it is the unpleasant, the poisonous things that become useful. Even certain medications are made of these poisonous things. We only care about what we need, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that everything on earth is made to serve you. He made it all for you. If someone cooks something for us or comes to visit us from far away, we appreciate it so much. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that He made everything for us. So why don't we humble ourselves before Him in gratitude? Now let's think about what He made for each of us individually, even before we came to this world. The sun was already shining for me. The earth was already flat with gravity for my comfort. And the trees, fruits, flowers, and plants all existed from before. All the birds and all the animals were here from before. There was already oxygen here. Water was already here. So when I come to this world, everything is ready. It was all prepared beforehand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had also pegged mountains into the earth to keep it balanced. After He had made any of the species, He made another to balance it out. The fish in the oceans were there for me. We don't even know some of the things, but He says, Jami'a, all of it is for you. How ungrateful are we that we still don't recognize our Master? Jami'a means everything on earth, including gold, silver, oil, water, fire, air, everything. He gave us all these things for our use, and we don't value Him? He only ordered us to do a few things and stay away from a small number of others. How come we couldn't even obey those few orders? How ungrateful are we? If we reflect on this ayah, it would be enough to guide us. Why are we so lost? And when we think about lakum, He says, all this is for all of you. We should think specifically that He's speaking to me. That's when we can really be grateful, that it's just for me. Next, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Then He turned to the sky. If this word istawa did not have ila after it, it would have meant He ascended or He rose over. But the ila after it changes the meaning to He turned towards. All the preparations listed here happened before man was created. Like when a baby is expected to arrive, parents buy everything and prepare, decorating the baby's room. All the preparations are done out of love and excitement. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for our arrival on earth even more lovingly. He decorated the whole universe for humanity. He turned to the sky. فَسَوَّاهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ And he leveled the seven skies for us. Then he adorned the lowest sky with stars. We find this out from Surah Mulk, that he beautified the sky of the world, the one that is closest to us, that we see, with stars. These stars are billions of light years away. Imagine that there are six more skies above this one that we can't even see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made all these things. How? وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ Because He is knowledgeable over all things. He knows about everything, so He can do it. Next is the story of what happened even before human souls were created, when none of us existed. This is way before the creation of humans. That's why the word is used in the beginning to refer to something that happened long ago in ancient times. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ And when your Lord said to the angels, إِنِّي جَائِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً Indeed, I am going to make or appoint in the earth a khalifa, a successor, or a vicegerent. When your Lord said to the angels that He's going to make a khalifa on the earth, what does khalifa mean? Someone who comes later. A substitute, a vicegerent. Who are humans khalifa of? Some scholars say that humans are successors of the jinnat, because the jinnat were here before humans. Others say that humans are vicegerents of a higher one, a higher one that is in the position of power, who has assigned them a responsibility to do something. Ibn Masud and Ibn Abbas say that Adam alayhi salam was the Khalifatullah, meaning the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that he was sent to the earth to implement Allah's roles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say to the angel that he is creating humans. He just says khalifa here at first. This means that he was about to create someone who would implement his orders on earth. So what were we sent to do on this earth? To implement Allah's divine law. We weren't sent here to just work hard for a living and then live for entertainment. This shouldn't be our routine, that we get up, work hard, use our brains to the max, and then we try to find some sort of entertainment to unwind. So when the angels heard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to create a khalifa, they said, Oh Allah, you are going to create one that will spread mischief on the earth and shed blood? قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ First, let's learn what fasad is, to understand the word yufsidu. When they say you're going to create somebody who is going to create fasad in it. Fasad means disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing shirk, breaking Allah's rules, and sinning. And what is yasfiku dima? It means to shed blood, killing. How did the angels know that humans would do this when humans weren't even created yet? Reflect on this. How did the angels know? They didn't have knowledge of the unseen, the wave. They thought of this because Jinnat lived on the earth for 2,000 years before this. And they had spread corruption here, transgressing, committing murders. The angels had seen all this, so they said that this successor would do the same. The word Khalifa is used. This is the second point, how the angels figured out that humans would create mischief and shed blood. Because of their experience watching the Jinnat, and the second is because they hear the word Khalifa when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them of his plan to create a new being. Khalifa is someone who would do islah on the earth, resolve issues, enforce Allah's orders here, and try to stop the corruption. For all of this to take place, the Khalifa would need to be given power, which he would use in the wrong way also. So the angels meant that he wouldn't be like them and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead, he would misuse his power. Note here that the angels asked a question by saying this, that are you going to create one that will spread mischief and shed blood? They asked a question. This is what those who read the Quran to object to its ayat did also, as we learned in ayah 26. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disliked the question of those people, but he does not get upset with the angels for asking a question. This is because the angels are not complaining about it. They just asked because they didn't understand. The question the disbelievers had asked about what Allah intended by giving examples of insignificant things in the Quran was to criticize. This is what Muslims even do at times, by questioning his decisions. There is a big difference in the way they asked, the way they questioned. Angels just want to understand better. That's why they asked. But the disobedient people criticized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't follow the etiquette of asking questions. The angels have great respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they would never question why he was creating a vicegerent or doing anything else. They cannot question him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلُ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. This means that none can question him about what he does, but they will be questioned. He has given us freedom of choice, freedom of speech now, and people say disrespectful things about him sometimes. Once he shuts our mouths in the hereafter, people will recognize his authority. He created us all so he can do as he pleases. Who are we to question his decisions? In Surah Buruj, we learn, فَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. He does as he pleases. When our lives are in his hands, how can we question him? We have no control of our lives or death or any results, so we cannot question him. By asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels were not complaining. or criticizing. They were just asking because they didn't understand the hikmah or the wisdom behind it. They say, if you are creating this khalifa to worship you, we already glorify and sanctify you. وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّهُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Angels praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, even when they are doing the work assigned to them. They praise Him. They do not get tired of it. So they say that they already praise Him and declare that He is free of all defects, any shirk, any weaknesses or flaws. The word taqdis here, in nuqaddisu, that we sanctify, taqdis means to negate any traits that are not worthy of describing Him. Tasbih, in nusabbihu bihamdika, that we do your tasbih with your praises. Tasbih means to admit that He is holy, the Most High, the only One, the Razak, provider for everyone, Rahman, the Most Gracious. This is tasbih, glorifying Him. Speaking of tasbih, there is a tasbih that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did when in ruku and sajood. Besides Subhana Rabbi al-A'la or Subhana Rabbi al-Azim in ruku, the other tasbih that he taught us is Subbuhun Quddusun Rabbul Malaikati wal-Ruh. Subbuh and Quddus is Allah, the Most Glorious, the Most Holy, Lord of the Angels, Rabbul Malaikati, Warruh, and Jibreel alayhi salam. So the angels stated that they glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they think that the vicegerent would misuse the power he would get. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied to them by saying, قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know what you do not know. The angels did not argue with him when hearing this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell them this to get their opinion or their permission or to ask for advice. He was just informing them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give them the responsibility of managing everything in the world, such as life, death, rizq, water, clouds. All these things would be executed by the angels after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them their tasks. We have very limited intellect. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the wisdom behind this. We learn from a hadith. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the angels of the day come down at Fajr time and they leave at Asr time. As they leave, they are replaced by nighttime angels who come and stay with us until Fajr time. They basically change shifts at these times, at Fajr and Asr. When they come or leave, they find people praying Fajr prayer or Asr Salah. When they go back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them, what did you find them doing when you got there? And what were they doing when you left them? He asks this question even though he knows already. He knows everything. From this, we conclude that the angels do not know. That is why he sends them to see. On the Day of Judgment, in the ground of Arafat, where we'll all be made to stand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will proudly say to the angels, look at my servants, look at my slaves. When the angels were questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the successor, the vicegerent he was to create, they didn't know that there would be prophets among the descendants of this Khalifa. There will be people very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or righteous people among the Khalifa's descendants. They didn't know there would be people who would risk their lives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They also didn't know that they would believe in him without even seeing him. Or that there would be those who would be willing to sacrifice everything for him. They didn't know there would be those among them who would be considered crazy due to their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Little did the angels know that there would be those who would wake up at night to cry before him. Those who would be dragged in the streets and would still say, Ahad, Ahad. They didn't know there would be those who would not sip even a drop of water or eat from Fajr to Maghrib while fasting for his pleasure, or that they would sacrifice their desires to get his approval. The angels were unaware that there would be those who would live in this world full of temptations, but would not forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even for a little bit. They had no knowledge that there would be those who would follow the restrictions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willingly, happily, even though they could easily disobey. Those who would bear with patience in times of sorrow to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who would control themselves when angry. Those who would be putting up with hardships, and they would raise their hands only to him in dua. Those who would just mention their grief only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who would leave what they want to do what Allah wants. Those who would work hard their whole lives just to hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say once, Ya ayyatuhal nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah, fadkhuli fi ibadi, wadkhuli jannati. And this means, O reassured soul, return to your Lord, well pleased and pleasing, and enter among my righteous servants, and enter my paradise. They would work hard their whole lives just to be able to hear that once. There will also be those who would be put to death because of their iman, and they would say, Rabbi bini li indaka baytan fil jannah. O Allah, build me a house near you in Jannah. There will also be those who would be alive and would have their body parts cut off due to their belief, but they would still only say Allah's name. The angels don't know that there would be people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that much. They say that they praise Allah and sanctify him, But these humans will be the ones who live in this world, full of temptations, full of desires and wishes. Angels don't live here. Humans would be the ones whose nafs would try to misguide them through feelings and desires, and they would be able to fulfill those wishes if they wanted. They can choose whether to obey or disobey. Angels did not know that this man would not have even seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the ghaib, but would obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if he saw him. This man would have needs connected to him and would have many ways to fulfill those needs and wants, halal and haram. But he would choose the halal way. Angels cannot understand all this. They don't get hungry, so they don't know what it's like to fast. They can't understand what sort of love a person has for their children that can make them turn to haram ways to provide for them. They don't understand what it's like to feel a strong desire for something and be overcome by it. They cannot understand what anger is. They can't understand what it's like to feel sad when separated from a loved one. They don't know what a great test it is to have the freedom of choice, to be able to obey or disobey. They are not familiar with all these things. They worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they don't know anything besides it. And they obey Him because they don't know how to disobey. They were programmed to do this, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, humans are not programmed like that. Humans have the freedom to decide, and they have desires. So when they live in this situation and still obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they become so dear to Him. This is why humans will get Jannah as a reward for their obedience, because they would have proved their love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while living among all these wants and needs. Angels don't have enemies inciting them like shaitan does for us. They don't have a nafs like we do, or people who oppose them when they try to follow Allah's commands. Neither do they live in an environment that tests them. When a person is facing any of these situations and still submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He really loves that person. The tasbihat that people do are worth much more than the tasbihat, the glorification of the angels. People have the freedom to do it or stay quiet. They have that choice. Nobody is going to question them over it. They choose to do it, so it's valuable. The angels do tasbihat all the time because this is what they were programmed to do. You have the freedom to glorify Him or not, obey or disobey. But this is not the case with the angels. This is why He will show the angels what humans are like. We have to strive to be those sort of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will feel proud to show to the angels. So He can say to the angels, "This is what my slaves are like. I told you, Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. Indeed, I know what you do not know." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those sort of people, because we don't have the strength to do it. And we have lots of shaitans trying to lead us astray. I mean, all these events and the conversation between Allah and the angels are part of the ghaib, the unseen. No science or astronomy can give us the knowledge of all this. Here we only know and believe what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us in His wahi, in the Quran, because this is the truth. Next, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed all this, He taught Adam alayhi salam the names of everything. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. So He taught Adam alayhi salam the names of all these things. And فَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ, He does as He pleases. He can do exactly as He please, and He does. The angels did not complain about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision. They were confused when they questioned Him. They were just wondering what sort of a creation this Khalifa would be, that He would spread mischief and shed blood. The Khalifa that's mentioned here isn't like the Khalifa we see in this life that comes next to rule in succession after a ruler. But the Khalifa mentioned here still has power and has choices. This word just told the angels what this Khalifa would do, having that power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam from clay that was taken from different parts of the world. So his offspring would have different character traits and different physical attributes. We know that clay can be soft or hard. It can be dark or light. There's different types. So humans would have different personality traits. Some would be soft and well-mannered. Others would be tough and hard to deal with. Some would be dark-skinned in appearance, and others would be light-skinned, and some in between. This is all because Adam alayhi salam was created from a mixture of different types of clay from different parts of the world. One more thing we learn from the tafsir is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels He would create a vicegerent, the angels discussed with each other that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create whatever He wants, but whatever He creates will not be more eminent than us. And even if there's a creation that's holier than us, they can't possibly be more knowledgeable than us, because we were created first, and we have seen a lot of things. So this was what the angels talked about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam on a Friday, and He admitted him to Jannah on a Friday, and he was also expelled from Jannah on a Friday, the day of Jummah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam the names of things. How? Maybe He presented those things before him and told him the names. We don't think of that as a big deal, because we think that things can be called by any names. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him all the properties of those things also. For example, water was introduced by its name, then its properties, that it is liquid, it quenches thirst, and all of its other characteristics. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He taught Adam alayhi salam the names of all things. This doesn't mean that He gave him the knowledge of everything in dunya, such as the stars and the skies and whatever will happen in dunya. He didn't teach him all that knowledge. Give him all that knowledge. Kullaha is the word used here. And kullaha means all that was related to him. Okay, so it wasn't everything. It was just all that was related to him. The basic knowledge of things that he would need to know. We learn from tafsir that he was told about all his offspring, what they will be like when they come. Then he was told of the names of animals, the earth, sky, mountains, the oceans, land, birds, utensils, stars, angels, everything from the small things to the big things. So we learn that the first honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Adam alayhi salam was knowledge. Not that he made angels prostrate before him out of respect. That happened afterwards. This shows the importance of knowledge, or ilm. What is ilm? To learn about the reality of something is ilm. Was it just the ilm of deen that he was given? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him all the beneficial knowledge. For Muslims, it's important to learn about all beneficial things. The knowledge of deen is the basic ilm that we must acquire. But deen does not tell us to not learn other subjects. It's not bad to learn about science or other things. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had planted the seed of knowledge in Adam alayhi salam. And from that comes all other knowledge. All the inventions and all types of ilm people get now happens as a result of that seed that was planted in Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam was taught all the languages also. So all the knowledge that people seek was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Humans did not create this knowledge. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught man the knowledge of animals, humans, and land. It's these types of knowledge that are different subjects now, like zoology, botany, math, accounting, and all other subjects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Adam alayhi salam the knowledge of the stars, and now people are able to come up with so many inventions, like telescopes, to look deep into space and explore the universe. To be able to see that far. These forms of knowledge were taught to Adam alayhi salam. So we shouldn't think they are worthless, because it is this ilm of this world. We can recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through it. He is the one who gave these forms of knowledge. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أَعْرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. He presented the knowledge of the things he had given to Adam alayhi salam before the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took out the souls of all humans to come till the day of judgment from Adam alayhi salam's back. Adam alayhi salam was surprised by this, and he asked Allah what they are. Allah told him that they are his offspring. When he looked at them, all of them had a nur, a light on their faces, between their eyes. Everyone's faces were bright. Imagine that we were all there too, in the form of souls. One of them had a very bright forehead that Adam alayhi salam noticed, and he really liked him. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who that was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, That is Dawood alayhi salam. He asked how long his life would be, and he was told that he would live to be 60 years old. Adam alayhi salam requested Allah to give Dawood alayhi salam 40 years out of his life. So 40 years of Adam alayhi salam's life were added to Dawood alayhi salam's life. When it was time for the death of Adam alayhi salam, who had a much longer life than Dawood alayhi salam, so when it was time for his death and the angel of death came, Adam alayhi salam said to him that he has 40 more years to go. So he was reminded that he had given those years to his son, Dawood. Adam alayhi salam had forgotten. And we forget also, because we are human. It's natural for us to forget things at times. We forget even after we give someone something. All these things and souls were presented to the angels. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels, فَقَالَ أَنْبِيُونِي بِأَسْمَائِهَا أُولَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. He told the angels to tell him the names of all of them, all of those things. Because he says, since you were saying that you all have a lot of ilm or knowledge, so if you are truthful, tell me the names of all these things. Truthful in what? The angels saying that they are most knowledgeable of all creation. Secondly, that man would just come and cause mischief and spill blood and not have any khair, goodness, or positive characteristics. Thirdly, wondering what the need is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this khalifa when they worship him already. So were they truthful in their thinking of these things? That they are most knowledgeable and that man would only cause mischief and spill blood. And wondering why Allah needs to send a khalifa when they already worship him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the angels about their thinking. That if you are truthful in what you said, tell me the names of these things that are in front of you. قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. Now the angels didn't know the names of these things. They only know how to do tasbih, how to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't have ilm of these things, and they weren't at all familiar with any of it. So the angels said, we glorify you. You are free of all defects. We have no knowledge except for what you have taught us. إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا, except for what you taught us. Indeed, you are the one with all the knowledge and wisdom. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. You alone have all the knowledge and wisdom. The angels gave such a beautiful answer to Allah's question. First, they said, سُبْحَانَكَ, which is basically the same as saying, Subhanallah, that Allah is free of all defects. Secondly, they admit to being ignorant, that they didn't have any knowledge. The third thing they said, all knowledge and hikmah, or wisdom, belongs to you, O Allah. They proclaim this. There is so much humility in this. If we don't know something, we start guessing. But they didn't start guessing. They clearly said that they didn't know. Simple. There is a lesson in this for us. If we don't know something, we can easily say that we don't. But people often feel embarrassed to admit that they don't know something. There is nothing wrong with not knowing something. Nobody can be an expert at everything. Or even be an expert in their own field, the complete subject that they study. There is no human with complete ilm. So why do we hesitate so much to admit that we don't know something? It's much better than try to make up something. This is a part of being humble, not anything to be embarrassed over. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say to people that he would tell them soon if he didn't know anything. He never made up anything to try to answer right away. He would only tell them the answers to the questions after he was sure. Umar radiallahu anhu said to Ali radiallahu anhu and the other sahabas he was sitting with that they knew what La ilaha illallah meant. There's no God except for Allah. But what does Subhanallah mean? Ali radiallahu anhu replied that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes this kalima, this kalam, these words when someone says it, and he is pleased by it. This is why Subhanallah is an important tasbih, and it's very short but liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should try to do this tasbih a lot. The angels saying Subhanaka means that they think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as free of all defects. They know this and they admit it, that He is free of all flaws, all weaknesses. This means that He is above all the weaknesses and needs that humans have, such as the need to sleep or eat or old age. That's a weakness, to go through old age. Illnesses, excuses to not be able to do something, forgetfulness, rushing into insensible decisions, being emotional in doing things, or death. He is above all this, and He is all able, all powerful over everything. However, when a person says that they don't understand why Allah decided something, complaining or criticizing about something, in that sort of a way, they are actually doing the opposite of tasbih. Na'udhu billah. That He didn't decide with His wisdom. Astaghfirullah. This is what they're basically saying. In addition, when people question Allah's orders as if He didn't know what would happen in the 21st century, as if He didn't know what would happen when we live in certain countries, it is against His tasbih, against the glorification, saying that He ordered these things randomly. That is the complete opposite of tasbih. Even if we say Subhanallah with our mouths, if we criticize His orders, what are we trying to say? Does that glorification matter? That we're just saying it, but it doesn't come from the heart. Are we trying to say, when we question His orders, that He just decrees whatever He wills without knowing all the wisdom that's behind it? Or that He did not have ilm of what would be to come? Na'udhu billah. We go against the tasbih when we say such things. So when the angels say this tasbih, Subhanaka, they are declaring that they don't know anything except for what He taught them. We need to remember this as we go on studying the Quran, no matter how many years we keep studying it for. If we don't understand something, we must say, La ilma lana illa ma allamtana. I have no knowledge except for what You taught me, what You gave me, O Allah. I only know what He has taught me. And just say, إِنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, that this is the truth from our Master. Whether I understand it or not, this is what we learned in Ayah 26. Keep in mind that we have no ilm or knowledge except what He gave us. Some people actually think that they have ilm of everything, of all topics related to any of the fields. They especially find it so easy to speak about deen very casually. Without studying the Quran or the Hadith, they just say things that they have heard from here and there, and they advise other people and give fatwas based on their limited knowledge. So how much ilm do we have? Try to remember when Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam were traveling by boat, a bird came and sat down. It had a drop of water in its beak. Khidr alayhi salam said to Musa alayhi salam, "O Musa, mine, yours, and the ilm of all the creation put together is like this drop of water compared to Allah's ilm, which is like this ocean." He said this, even though he had a very different sort of ilm, even greater than the ilm Musa alayhi salam had. So imagine that small drop of water divided among all of creation. So how much ilm would I have out of it? Think how small we are. Think how small this ilm is that we've been given. And we talk as if we have so much knowledge. So the things we have learned today, the things that our dear Ustaza wants us to remember, is that when she has told us the hadith about the angels, that they thought nobody can be better than them in nobility. And even if they're better in nobility, they can't be more advanced in ilm. Because the angels thought, we have lived here for so long and see the ghaib also that others wouldn't know about. They see the unseen. They admitted now to Allah that they don't have ilm. They learned that what they said was not right, that the vicegerent would only spread corruption and spill blood. That was not right. This proves that it's not good to make assumptions. Don't assume that all people who belong to a certain race or family or tribe or the ones who speak the same language are all the same. Don't generalize like that and say negative things about people. There are good and bad people among all races. It's due to the assumptions the angels had that they would have never thought there would be anbiya, prophets, among the people also. Today, if someone were to look around and say that the angels were right, humans are creating too much mischief and spilling blood, this is incorrect, because we only hear about the bad things happening, as those news are highlighted everywhere by the media. Goodness often goes unnoticed. It stays hidden. There are good people in dunya, in the world, and there's khair, goodness in it, and that's how this world is functioning well. The angels did not have wisdom about it. We shouldn't be quick to speak either, as we don't have wisdom and realize afterwards that we said something wrong at times. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us many times in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and you do not know. This is what he said to the angels here as well. Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. Indeed, I know what you do not know. When he orders something, he tells us this after it. Don't we trust him? As soon as we started reading the Quran, he told us right at the beginning, la rayba fi. There's no doubt in it. When we read this and believe in it, we should try to read these ayats being open-minded so we can fully benefit from them. People complain about things that happen in their lives, why an earthquake strikes, why someone got divorced, or why someone can't have kids. At those times, they should think, he knows and they don't know. We should not question anything. We learned that even angels don't have knowledge of the ghaib, the unseen. And people nowadays start to think that jinnat have knowledge of it. Angels live above the jinnat, far above. Jinnat can't even go past the sky of this world. They don't even have access to the sky of this world fully. and they're struck with a flame to be driven out when they try to go up to listen to the angels. Angels are much closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even they don't have ilm of the unseen. It's strange that people ask jinnat such things, wanting answers. Allah is Hakim at the end here, as we learn. Alimul Hakim, meaning he has complete wisdom, the ability to make the right decision at the right time. That is wisdom. Allah gives us rules, sharia, to live our lives by, like the order of salah. There's hikmah behind it. There's wisdom. Or if we are going through problems in our personal lives, we should say that he is Hakim. It's based on his wisdom that he decreed for us. He decreed this to happen. So if we keep doing this B of this name of his, but complain about his decisions, we don't consider him to be Al-Hakim. Especially if we say that something would be better another way than from the way he has decided for us, we are basically trying to be Hakim ourselves. Know that he is Alim, the all-knowing, and Al-Hakim, the all-wise. We should learn to humble ourselves the way the angels did. They didn't hesitate to admit their mistake or say that they have no knowledge. It's not easy to do that, but especially because the ego gets in the way for us. But they had no issue admitting to it. They did not act arrogantly. They admitted right away that they have no knowledge. Illa ma 'allamtana tells us that he gives ilm. So we should make dua to him, to ask him to give us knowledge, because we can only learn what he allows us to. Alhamdulillah. We will finish up here for today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us beneficial knowledge, for we can't learn anything besides his decree. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana tuqabbal minna. Innaka antas sami'ul alim. وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته